This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Blue Land. Did you know that about 5 billion, billion? That's I checked that because that's a lot. Plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away every year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy. We're shipping around all this water using fuel when we don't have to. Every year, Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year. This year, maybe turn the New Year's resolution into action that makes a difference by switching to Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. It's a simple idea. They have refillable cleaning products. They have a nice design. I have them in my home. It looks nice on your counter. You fill the reusable bottles with water, drop in the Blue Land tablets, wait for them to dissolve, and you never have to grab bulky, heavy cleaning supplies on your grocery run ever again. And refills, because they're small and you don't have to ship a bunch of water across the country, starts at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, everybody, you know what I mean. All Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients that you can feel good about. Blue Land is trusted in over a million homes, including, yeah, mine. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dearhank. You won't want to miss it. blueland.com/dearhank for 15% off. Again, blueland.com/dearhank to get 15% off. Hello, it's the final episode of Dear Hank and John during John's sabbatical. We will be back as our normal duo next week. I kind of can't wait. We're recording that episode very soon, and I'm just looking forward to talking to my brother. This episode was recorded with a particularly rowdy crowd at VidCon Australia. I was very jet-lagged, and I was joined by my personal favorite Try Guy, sorry, other Try Guys, Zach Kornfeld. I knew that Zach and I had a lot in common, but there were also lots of things that I didn't know about Zach that I found out about Zach during this recording of Dear Hank and John, and you're going to find out about them too, and it's going to be fascinating. So, without further ado, friends, let me transport you back in space and back in time. Not back in space, just transport you in space, but also back in time to VidCon Australia, where I talked with Zach Kornfeld. All right, so if we can, roll the music. Hello and welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to call it, Dear Zach and Hank.
It's a comedy podcast where two friends answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. So, why do, when an actor is about to go in for an audition, why do you say break a leg?
I believe it's an old superstition.
No, it's because they'll definitely end up in a cast.
Oh. All right, yeah, I'll give it for that. It was more of a grenade joke. It exploded later, and I did enjoy it.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, well, this is Zach Kornfeld. We're here at VidCon Australia. Hello. I love it. Yell as loud as you can. Be as Australian as you can for the people at home. So we're here in Melbourne, Australia. It's been lovely. I learned about goon sacks.
I have not learned about goon sacks. What have I been doing wrong?
You're at the wrong parties, my friend. You're not hanging out with the bogans.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to ask a question, but I didn't know if it's offensive. I thought bogan was a not great word. Okay, yeah, okay. Well, you all cheered for bogans.
Is it a not great word?
Oh, no. What are goon sacks? You got to tell me.
So a goon sack, you know the sack inside of a box of wine?
Oh.
If you take that out and just pass it around and nobody has cups, that's a goon sack.
Oh, that's a thing that totally needs a name. That's great.
We have goon sacks in Montana. We just don't know what to call it.
Yeah, we just say slap the bag, which is when you drink it, and then when you're done, you give it a good old slap and pass it along.
You got to transmit the diseases somehow. I was corrected that in Australia, they just dribble it out into your mouth so you don't actually put your mouth on it. In Montana, we just put our mouth on it.
Well, yeah, that's how you become close with the people in your life.
That's how you become true friends.
If you're not willing to share diseases, then what are you willing to share, you know? Intimacy is important.
Oh, my God. All right, so I'm so excited to hear your AFC Wimbledon news. But first, we're going to answer some questions from our audience. That was extremely specific with the in and the out.
Yeah. You practiced that.
Yeah, makes
that
me think
amazing.
You've been practicing. So first, we have a question that's not going to be any good for the audio listeners at home. No one has claimed responsibility for this question, but it says, can you switch glasses?
We'll do it. This is like the most, here you go. You have to hook mine around your ears.
Oh, they've got little hooks.
Yeah, it's because I have a preposterously tiny head. It's peanut size, so that they had to bend it even more than normal, but it kind of works as its own croquis where I can whip my head around and they'll never fall off. Here we go.
You know, our prescriptions are not super different.
Wow, you look good in those, actually. I like that.
You look good, too.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And now we will have headaches for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. I think your vision is a little worse than mine.
Yeah, hard to say. I used to be farsighted, and then far just became right directly in front of my face. It's gotten closer and closer entire life. How do you feel when people, non-glasses wearers, ask to try on your glasses? It's not a favorite thing of mine.
I'll be honest with you, that is almost always someone who is under the years of 5.
Oh,
and
that's
cute. When it happens
cute.
To me, and I'm like, yeah, that looks like a little kiddo put on my glasses. Take a picture.
I just am afraid, again, my tiny head, that their normal size heads will stretch out my glasses to a point of no return.
Should I take them off?
No, your head is,
is
wonderful.
They aren't coming off. They will not come off.
Yeah,
they are tight on there. This is amazing.
It's for all the sports I do not play.
Wow.
Also because of the hook, sometimes I'll just, like, not even doing anything weird, I'll just, like, be next to somebody and I'll get caught in their hair. It's a whole...
Not even doing anything weird.
Well, I was going to say it gets caught in my girlfriend's hair, but then it conjured an image of us being very intimate, and we're not. We're just, like, on a couch.
Take your glasses off during the intimacy.
That's a little free tip for you.
Yes, it's very important advice. Unless you don't want to. I'm not here to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I don't want to see anything that I'm doing.
This is not usually how Dear Hank and John goes.
You invited me.
Yeah. This is Rachel B.
Yeah. Rachel, I was going to say take a bow, but you've done enough.
What does it say at the end here? It says love from Florida?
Florida.
Oh. Okay,
but what are you
you're
doing
from
here?
You're from Florida, but your love is still from just this room. Okay, well, welcome all the way from Florida, like me. I am also from Florida.
Australia,
I grew up in Orlando. It's terrible.
Australia, if you don't know, people from Florida, they really need you to know that they're from Florida, but then they will soon after tell you how much they'd hate it.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. Any other Floridians hate it there? Hey, do you hate it? Yeah, thanks for outing me. I don't know if I'm about to out you on something else here, but it says, what is the least dumb way to ask someone out?
Oh, the least dumb way, which I like the way you phrase that. You're accepting
they're all
that
dumb.
It sucks no matter what you do. Oh.
Is the person in the room?
Oh. a tense
you, I
maybe.
Mean, you could get me to do it. Oh, okay, we're not confirming nor denying. Does anybody in the room want to go out with Rachel? Does the hair flip there? Definitely a live podcast is dumb,
yeah.
But not the most dumb, but also not the least dumb.
It's tough for me to answer because most ways that I've asked people out in my life have been very dumb. I've failed at it a lot.
Yeah, you've had it come back on you. You know what? In my experience, mostly I've succeeded at getting people to go on a date with me. But then that was sort of like the end of that process. It almost appeared in my high school era, and I don't know, this might have just been the way that high school worked, was that the kiss happened and then the relationship ended, which makes me ask some questions about my skills as a mouth user. But I hopefully have evolved since then.
Well, you've kept one since.
It's true.
So your mouth using has improved, we would hope.
Or she's just
She doesn't know better.
Yeah, she's just a kind human.
I think that when it comes to asking someone out, being direct is better and showing a form of confidence because sure. No one wants someone who's wishy-washy. I've tried, you know, different versions of games and gifts and knickknacks and doodads, and those don't seem to make much of a difference.
Wow. Give me an example of a knickknack doodad.
Okay, the one that I'm thinking about is because you have a stack of cards here. In high school, I asked someone out. I wanted to ask someone out to prom, and so I asked her out in a series of flashcards. You know, do you do that here? You study for tests with flashcards? So I made
it. There was a great mix of like 50-50 people who thought that was cute and people 50 who were like, oh, oh, no.
Yeah. The second half was more correct.
Yeah.
So I was so nervous. I was just sweating. And you know, this is also a thing that happens is that when you're younger, you crush on people, and what you decide to do is to not talk to them. That's mm-hmm. how you're going to show them how much you love them. So I told her that she dropped the cards, and I expected her to look at it. This was the moment I expected, which was like, oh my goodness, Zach. Why, you shouldn't have. Yes, I would love to go to prom with you. What actually happened was she just turned around and I'm like, oh, you dropped this one. Oh, cool, thanks. And took it, walked away. Didn't read it, didn't look at it. And then 2 days later, she was digging in her bag and she realized that I had asked her out to prom.
Wow.
She said yes.
Oh!
And then I watched her make out with someone else at prom.
That's hard.
Yeah, we shared mouths a lot at my high school, something that you guys apparently don't do with your wine. We do it with our prom dates.
Oh. My most successful high school asking out was, do you want to watch the shuttle launch with me? Because Orlando, where the space shuttle launched, and this was back in the 90s when that was still a thing.
It was cool.
It was cool. And we went and, like, sat on the dock and watched the shuttle launch, like, at some stranger's house because neither of us had a dock.
I like this more because I think an activity date is a great way to get in, and it also will help you feel less awkward. You're not asking someone out on a romantic quest. You're just saying, hey, let's do this cool
thing. I mean, a shuttle launch is pretty romantic. It worked out all right. I think that you just say, like, do you want to hang out? And if you have an idea for the hangout, then do that. But, like, really, a date is just a hangout, and then you see what happens. That's like the coolest thing I've ever seen is people who are just like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime? And it's like, that's cool. That's like, not a lot. I don't feel freaked out by that. And then we'll see what happens.
Or maybe after this, you can be like, wow, what fun we had listening to this podcast. We should do more things like it together, forever together.
Forever. Forever. Now, maybe not forever.
No, tell them it's forever. You need to make your intentions very clear from the beginning.
Oh, God.
Lock it down. Don't let it go.
All right. This question is from Love Meg. Meg, are you here? Yeah. Meg was a little less enthusiastic than Rachel was.
Meg is not from from Florida.
Yeah. So Meg's question is, what's your strategy for winning Seven Wonders? Do you have ever played Seven Wonders?
Sure haven't.
This question is for me. Now, when you're playing Seven Wonders, I can tell a lot of you are Seven Wonders players by how actively engaged you are and listening to me right now. It's really about playing the hand you are dealt. You can't just like go in on a strategy without knowing what you have, and you have to be willing to change and adapt as the play goes on. And this way, it is very much like life.
It's a beautiful metaphor.
Yes, and it's also very much like a board game. It's even more like a board game. And that's really what I love about it.
It's a little like life. It's a lot like a game. I think, you know, much like I was dealt with this, and so my game strategy is light humor, you know?
Right, flashcards.
Yeah, and flashcards. I'd like to play. Did you bring it?
No, I have it on my iPad, though.
All right.
So I guess I did. Sophie.
Oh!
It's a different Sophie. It's a different Sophie.
How many Sophies are here?
Raise your hand if your name is Sophie.
Wow, we've got 800 Sophies in attendance.
Wow,
this is amazing.
It's a very common Australian name.
The listeners at home, you can't see this, but there are 800 Sophies in
attendance. Just go woo if your name is Sophie so they can hear you.
Wow, and they've
so
all
many Sophies.
Formed giant S-O-P-H-I-E in the crowd. It's like a flash mob of Sophies here.
Yeah. Oh God, they're so organized.
This is
they're
going to
take over the world. How did you start something from nothing? No, I'm sorry. It says, how did you start from nothing? Well, when a man and a woman love each other very much. Mitosis. Nothing starts from nothing. Nothing starts from nothing.
It's a beautiful song lyric.
Yeah. No, but like, tell me about your nothing that you started from, because it wasn't nothing. Look at this package.
I will.
They yeah, like it.
I'll let you.
The Sophies are into it.
Sophies came out to play. The question almost, it's trying to find like my Drake moment. I started from the bottom. I think it's trying to create this narrative that we all came from great struggle and rose unexpectedly. I don't know that that's totally my story.
No, I don't think it's anybody's story, really. Like, everybody is like starts with things. Like, we have our health. You know, people like, you have certain levels of health. You have certain levels of systemic advantage. You have certain levels of various kinds of capital, whether that's like actual money or just like knowledge of how the world works. Like, just speaking English is a huge value in
there
this world, because you can communicate with the people who have most of the power more effectively.
I also believe that your quote unquote nothings are somethings. The things that are negatives are things that make you different or unique. Certainly, if you're a creative person or an artist, you can turn your nothings into the things that make you different and have stories worth telling. I've won the Sophies over. So I guess the nothing is that as a child, I suffered from depression at a very young age. I was going to therapy in like second and third grade, which is not something most children do. And so a lot of my early life was, one, figuring out how to channel that feeling of nothing into something and to feel like a valuable person, but then also to find the ways in which I could prioritize happiness and feeling like I was worthy of happiness, and finding the things that gave me unbridled joy. So my journey from nothing to something was just allowing myself to have fun with the things in the world.
Nice.
Well, thanks.
Woo! Dear Hank and Zach, unsigned question. If you could portray any celebrity in a biopic, who would it be? So first, like, why can't the celebrity play themselves? They're a celebrity. They're dead?
It's a great reason.
It has to be a dead one.
I would probably, I think I could play you, maybe.
I'm not dead!
Well, but if you do die, I'll be there for you.
Okay, all right, so pact. Pact.
I'm in.
Okay, if you die, I'll play you. If I die, you play me.
You got,
Because they're not going to make a movie of either of us unless we die.
Yeah, well, that's the best ending to a movie.
There has to be some kind of tragic turn.
No biopic works without a disease or a turn to drugs, so
yeah.
We're going to have to get our lives a lot darker.
Well, I have a disease, and I've turned to drugs to treat it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we got a movie.
Prescribed by the doctor. I take it very carefully.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Abuse it just a little bit,
no.
And then get off, and
no,
then we
I
got
have
a movie.
To, they do a blood test every month.
Well, then
sure
you don't
I'm
want
not.
A movie.
I honestly, like, can I express to you the depth of my disinterest in playing a person in a movie?
I would, yeah, you have no interest in that?
I'm so busy. Like, I once went in to do I did a pilot of a television show, and I hated it so much. They paid me $1,000, which was great. $1,000 in a day,
cool.
That's amazing. So I liked that part of it, and they had unlimited Cliff Bars. So, like, woo! Those parts were great. But when I make a YouTube video, I like talk to the camera and I record the line, and if I mess up, I'll say it again. This, I had to say the line correctly 3 times from 3 different angles for every line in a 5-page script. So it was 9 times I had to get the line right before we moved to the next freaking line. And I just like, I could not have that lifestyle. And also I will say that I was not good at it. And I don't love doing things I'm not good at, unless I'm getting $1,000 in unlimited Cliff Bars.
I think I would still be into. I don't want to play anyone in a biopic, but if they remade Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I would love to be Rick Moranis.
What about the Rick Moranis biopic?
you think?
You could totally do that.
You know, his life is actually interesting.
It's super interesting.
He turned away from acting to spend time with his family.
It's very rare that someone gives up fame.
Yeah, he
totally
just said,
did.
Screw it, I'm over it.
Well, I mean, his wife died.
Oh,
You didn't know that part?
No.
Yeah, his wife died of cancer, and he was like, I have to take care of my kids now.
It's
very sad, but it's also very nice.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad about
it. It makes it better biopic,
though.
It
does make better. I just feel bad that I said, screw it. But yeah, he seems like a good guy.
He seems like a great guy.
Maybe
I think you'd be a great Rick Moranis in the Rick
Moranis biopic.
I would love that. Biopic.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know that I have the emotional depth to play it, but I could try.
Oh yeah, it's in there somewhere.
Gotta dig deep.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of work and also attention. But isn't that? I guess we're working a lot for attention right now.
Yeah, we're digging deep for it.
Yeah. So in a related field and possibly from the same question asker, would you consider becoming a TikTok star?
Whoa.
Do you ask that question?
Yes.
No.
Are you a TikTok star?
She is a TikTok star. She says no, but her friends say yes.
Well, TikTok is fascinating to me.
Oh, and God.
You're in, right?
Oh, I'm in.
Okay.
I am a consumer. I am not a creator on this platform.
Yes, I agree. You know that I'm becoming older because I am fascinated by TikTok because of a New York Times article that I read. Not from using TikTok, yeah. But it's the only platform that started algorithmically. So all the other platforms like Instagram and Twitter, they start showing you things chronologically, and then over time they're like, just kidding, we want to show you the things we want you to see. Whereas on TikTok, you just sign on and they just start using a computer to figure out who you are and how to own you. And I think that's so cool and also kind of terrifying. TikTok, if some of the listeners don't know, is short videos. It's kind of like, they know? Okay.
People know about,
okay,
yeah,
I don't know.
The thing about TikTok is like Twitter is full of TikTok videos now.
It's true. Twitter is just the best of TikTok,
yeah.
Which is very convenient for me. But what I wonder is like, I know there are TikTok stars, but also you don't need to be a star to be popular on TikTok, which I think is also pretty neat. That said, I have no interest myself.
In being a TikTok star. You know what? What I would like is to have one viral moment on TikTok.
Yes, I'd be into that.
Yeah. I want to do one clever thing where people... This is the truth of the matter if we're going to get deep down into the Hank Green psyche.
Please.
I want to prove to myself that I could be a TikTok star, but then not do it.
I love that. Yeah, because part of our job is knowing and understanding how platforms work.
Exactly.
And
true.
Thinking in our mind that I'm not popular because I got lucky. It's because I know how platforms work.
I'm
a digital scientist.
I need to create the lie in my own head
I gotta
that
keep this
isn't
going.
Just luck. I need to destroy my own humility. No, I don't. I need to be always grateful for the wonderful gift I've been given and recognize that I have no idea how it happened. But I do want to be in a viral TikTok.
Can
you help me?
Help us. Help us. Well, at the end, we'll make a TikTok together.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was an empty promise. I'm so sorry that you wooed for it. I have no intention on following up on that.
Yeah.
As I go on, though, I definitely used to feel this need to prove myself in every new field. It's like, okay, now Instagram's big. I got to be big over there. And now I'm getting to a place where, like, I'm just going to stay in my cozy corner and make the cool stuff I like making.
Yeah. It's okay. I love it. I'm so satisfied with being satisfied now.
Well, good on you.
I had to turn 39 and have a baby first. But now it's like, there's this thing, you know? It's like, never settle. And I'm like, no.
Settling's okay.
Settle down. Calm down.
Settle a little bit.
Put some roots down. Find a place. Find some people. There's a lot of comfort and beauty in that.
Do you know in Australia, 6 weeks vacation is like the standard?
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my God.
It's not crazy to you. It's crazy to us. I think that's wonderful.
I was on a flight. I sit next to a businessman coming back from Australia once, and he could not shut up about how frustrated he was that his Australian employees would only come into work during business hours. He was just like, no matter what we do, like there's no way to incentivize them to come to work. And I'm like, I mean, that's what they call them, business hours.
Yeah. And also, don't you
He was in potato farming, but not the potato farming part, the part where, like, you moved potatoes around once. Do you got a lot of potatoes here?
Yeah.
All right. It's like the
potatoes.
Idaho of the ocean. That's what they say about Australia.
The Idaho of the ocean. I work-life balance is important.
It is.
TikTok.
That was our TikTok question.
It led us to potatoes.
What could I be like? Is there like a room for science TikTok?
Don't ask me, man. Is there? I think yes, but you have to like Millie Rock while you do it.
You were saying yes, but you were making the no gesture. anything. Oh, this is it's my life. It's TikTok on a silver platter. You can tick whatever you can talk, baby.
What is life but a TikTok waiting to happen?
Oh my God. I mean, hopefully more than that.
Ugh. It's the worst motivational poster in a guidance counselor's office.
Yeah.
The hippest guidance counselor. Yeah.
You have to prepare now so you can TikTok later. I made a video yesterday in which, thanks.
He does that from time to time.
I do, in which I discussed the river that was outside of my window, and I called it the Yarra River. And then a bunch of people left comments, and they were like, no, it's pronounced, and then they spelled out a word that to me would be pronounced Yarra. All right, so there's only one person who can answer this question for me. It doesn't matter which one person it is, but it has to be one person at a time.
I hear them. They're saying it's not Yarra, it's Yarra.
Yarra!
Okay, we need one person. So raise your hand if you would like to be the
They're
official.
They're separating the ya and the ra.
The Yarra pronunciator person in the Oh My God, It's Burning t-shirt. Come on up and say the word Yarra into Zach Kornfeld's microphone.
Yarra.
That's what I'm freaking saying!
Slow it down. You got to slow it down for us.
Slow it down for me. I'm American.
But when we slow things down, your voice gets deeper. Slow it down.
Yeah.
Yarra.
I'm so sorry. I'm hearing the same thing.
You're saying Yarra. It's Yarra.
Yarra. I'm just saying Yarra in an American accent.
It's not Sarah. It's Sarah.
I guess it's not Sarah.
Sarah.
Unless I'm maybe very British, Sarah.
It's more fun playing the...
I've forgotten already. Yarra? It's just Yarra. Like Sarah, but with a Y. Yarra.
The R is shortened.
Oh, my God.
I'm really enjoying this because, like, when I go to places like Mexico or South America or places that speak other languages, I really want to be respectful of the pronunciation because there's a language. But we speak the same language, so I don't care. And I enjoy teasing each other about it.
Yes, like, I come from Florida, as previously mentioned. I don't usually talk about this a lot, I promise, where we have a city called Melbourne. And I come to here, and they're like, you can't say Melbourne. You have to say Melbourne. And I'm like, but I'm American. I'm just saying it the American. Like, you don't correct any of my other words. I don't go to Paris and call it Paris.
Right. That would be rude. That would be, like, people. What about you guys have this, right? If anyone goes to Paris and calls it Paris, they're kind of a douche, right? Okay, so do you want us to be douches?
That's how I feel when I say, they're like, yes. We want you to be terrible, as bad as possible. Do your worst Australian accent, but only when you say place names.
We do. Now that I'm saying it, in Los Angeles, we have a lot of dumb pronunciations that are wrong but are important to us. Like, we take all the Spanish words and make them wrong.
Right.
So,
and when you say them...
Los Feliz, the happy, is a neighborhood, but we call it Los Feliz because we're idiots and we like it way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rodeo Drive is Rodeo Drive, and it's very important to us that we know that. So I get you, Yarra. I'm in. I'm back. Hey. I'm on board. I went through a whole journey to get there.
I like it. Yeah, you did. You did. And I didn't come with you, but that's all right. Sometimes friends disagree.
Well, that's why it's the Zach and Hank podcast. My opinion comes first.
It's called Dear Hank and Zach.
That is true. I got it very wrong.
This says Dear Uncle Hank and Corn Diddy.
Yeah.
Do you have fans in the audience who are really passionate about your Corn Diddy-ness?
It seems so. Do we have corn babies? All right.
You've got more fans in the audience than I do. It's okay.
I love it. It's so endearing to me that people have wholeheartedly bought into what is objectively the dumbest username I could ever have grasped onto.
I can't even tell people my original username because it is still connected to things that I wrote when I was in high school.
Oh,
and
no.
They could Google it. And then I would be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't think that I'd like get canceled or anything, but I would be just people would stop respecting me as not because I said anything wrong, just because I said things that were just
dumb.
So dumb.
I will not out myself more than I have to, but there is a different username that I once used and I have searched it, and the old posts I have on forums are very findable. And I was active on some TV show forums, and the theories I had and the writing I had was dumb.
Yeah.
And knowing that that's out there forever is mortifying.
Yeah.
No, I'm not telling.
Which
you'll find it, and I don't want that.
Oh, wow. Wow. They're going to go deep. They're going to dive deep and just read all the forums for
I
that
feel like
show.
I'm inviting it now.
It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's Buffy, isn't it?
I'm not saying it.
All
word.
Right. It says, this is from Christina. Right there in the front. Why do birds? So, I don't know if you heard, but recently it was announced that that like a third of birds in North America have stopped existing. The population
oh my
of
God.
North American birds is now down one third. So why do birds? Maybe not much longer. Look, it's time for the climate strike. We're not doing it, but we are at least mentioning it.
Well, I got caught in the traffic of the climate strike yesterday, so I'm doing my part. I was late to something here because I was protesting by being there.
Yeah, by being stuck in it.
I was a body as in part of it. I'm very glad that if any of you did it, I thank you for going.
Yeah.
It was a very cool
hey,
thing to
thank
say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Why do birds? You know, I was never that into birds.
You got a boo.
There's a story coming. That's where the story starts. Character growth. There's an arc. You got to start low, and then you go on a journey. This is how all stories work.
So I was never that into birds.
I was never that into birds. People go birding. I didn't get it. Then I came here. I went to New Zealand for 5 days before this. Then I came here. Your birds are exquisite. They make the craziest sounds,
yeah.
The most beautiful songs. Their feathers, even those horrid magpies, are beautiful. Yeah, they attack people, but I respect them for it. And I am very taken with birds now and feel like a fool for having not seen the beauty. And maybe I'm unfortunately representative of Americans, and that's why we don't care about our birds.
Wow. I think that they have better birds. I mean, I don't want to like talk bad about American birds, but I think
the birds
have better
are better
birds
here. We got pigeons.
Well, we got more than pigeons.
I grew up in New York. We don't have much more than pigeons.
Well, in Orlando, Florida, where I grew up.
Oh, you have the pelicans that swoop
yeah,
into the
we got
water.
Pelican, we got roseate spoonbills. We got ibis. We got great blue heron. We've got all those good stuff. Yeah, ibis. Bin chickens. It's like how we call raccoons a garbage panda. They call ibis a bin chicken.
I like bin chicken. That's fun.
They got those too. They mostly just are. They don't do much bin work in America. They just poke at the ground with their big long noses.
Here's the deal. Everyone loves dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are dope. Birds are the closest thing we got to dinosaurs. They're just tinier and dumber. Also, crocodiles, good point. Those are closer to dinosaurs.
No, birds are closer to dinosaurs than crocodiles. This is a thing I know because of my job.
But crocodiles have been around for, like, the longest time.
Yeah, but so have birds.
So
have
birds.
Like, so crocodiles split off from dinosaurs before birds did.
How about that?
Yeah.
So you were incorrect.
The crocodiliforms. There was a time when, there were crocodiliforms that were basically deer. Like, crocodiles that were fast land runners.
That's a nightmare.
I know! Anyway.
Ooh.
Why do birds?
The other day, I went to a zoo thing, and a wombat attacked my ankles.
No, those things are...
They're fast. And
yeah.
Their butts...
They're big.
...can crack skulls. I've learned, and I thought that if I didn't, because all the animals here seem like dinosaurs to me, I love Jurassic Park, I'm like, oh, if I don't move, it won't come to me, and so it charged me, and I froze, which is kind of all you need to know about who I am as a person, but it was a very adorable nibbling on my ankle. Yeah. I don't want to hit one with a car. I don't want to hit many things with a car.
Yeah, it's like the thing.
I want to hit with a car?
The list of things that I don't want to hit with a car is the list of things.
The only thing I want to hit with a car is like Pennywise. Otherwise, I'm not hitting things with my car.
God. For a second, I thought that was like maybe a rapper.
No.
I was just like,
the demon
man,
cloud.
That's not very nice. I know, okay. He's a murderer. He's a child murderer.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That's good. Do it.
Kill that clown.
Kill that very, very bad clown. And all of this actually reminds me that this podcast is brought to you by Murdering Pennywise the Clown. Murdering Pennywise the Clown, available at a theater near you.
We'd also like to thank today's sponsor, Uncle Hank's TikTok channel. For all the hottest and freshest dance moves, come on by to TikTok.
This podcast is also brought to you by asking a girl to prom with flashcards and then having her kiss someone else at the dance.
Ooh, this
not suggested, but available for the price of free.
That sponsor cuts deep. This podcast is also sponsored by flying halfway across the world to get berated by an audience for your funny pronunciation. Highly.
This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Thrive Market. T-H-R-I-V-E is how that's spelled. You may or may not be like me. Here's a thing I know about myself. If I put it in my house, I'm going to eat it fast, in no time flat. And so I like to shop in a way that makes sure that the kinds of foods that are in my home are the kinds of food that should be in my body. You know what helps out with that is having a go-to grocery and household essentials thing that I can that just like pops up on my phone and it's like, hey, do you want to order your monthly thing? And I'm like, yeah. And then I pick the things that I want in my house and I don't pick the things that I don't want in my house in the moments when I actually have self-control, which is not when I'm standing in front of the pantry. Thrive Market's super great, whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, which I absolutely am. And those the pretzel bites with the peanut butter inside of them to make my wife so happy. She's like, I can finally have peanut butter pretzels again after developing a gluten allergy. It's fantastic. And as a Thrive Market member, you save money on every single grocery order. On average, you can save over 30% each time. They even have a little deals page that changes like every day, and you can go and see it and see like, maybe I want to try out some new fun thing. They got all kinds of brands on their website. They got Amy's, Banza, Burt's Bees. They got Mike's Hot Honey, Oatly Olipop, Poppy, Salt. When you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give. Join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. Go to thrivemarket.com/dearhank for 30% off your first order, plus a $60 gift. That's Thrive Market, T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/dearhank. And they have told me to say it one final time, even though at this point it seems like a lot. ThriveMarket.com/DearHank.
Here, we're the ones with the silly accents.
So I guess it's time to get to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon. So in the news from Mars, there was a landslide on Mars.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Are there hills on Mars? Are there mountains on Mars?
Oh my goodness gracious. The biggest mountain in the solar system is on Mars.
Wow. How about that?
Wow. You need to come on Dear Hank and John more often. I can educate you on all the Mars stuff. So yeah, there was a landslide on Mars. Mars is actually a little bit, it seems... There are a couple of geologic, like active geologic activities on Mars. So, one, this very large mountain, Olympus Mons, may actually be active. Like, active in that it might, like, erupt every, like, 20 million years or so. Which is not often, but, like, no. not active. And then there's also this thing that happens where, carbon dioxide will freeze below the surface, and then when it warms up, it will explode out through the surface and make these weird spider web patterns on the surface of Mars that we were all very confused about for a long time, because they'd appear and we'd be like, what's happening? And that's very cool. But there was, I don't actually know what triggered this landslide, but there was a very large landslide near the North Pole of Mars, and the orbiters there, I don't know which orbiter it was, actually captured the landslide in action, and you can see the cloud of dust in a three-frame like movie that they took from orbit. It's amazing. It's like the kind of footage I would never imagine we could capture of like an actual geologic event happening on the surface of another planet.
That is so cool. Also so scary. Is everyone okay?
You know, we don't know for sure.
Yeah, like wow.
if there's
landslides could happen. Right?
If there's anybody there, then that would be a big surprise.
Yeah, we're just sending our support to those who may have
potential
been
potential exobiotic single-celled thingies.
Yeah, that's very cool. I would like to see that footage.
It's good. I'll show it to you after the podcast.
All right. That could be our TikTok.
I'm glad you're working it out. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got for me? Any news from AFC? What do you got?
Last night, I went to my first Australian rules footy game. It was very exciting. I didn't know that Australia had its own football until recently. it's the finals, which is not the final game, even though that's what you would think that it means. It's the game before the final game. It was the Tigers versus the Cats. The Richmond Tigers. The Richmond won. Go Tigers. I'm going to tell you, I rooted for the Tigers. It was very hard for me to not root for a team called the Cats, because you got a feral beast versus a house animal. Yeah. And that's so adorable. Who in their right mind, when they're going around naming the teams, you got these bad, like the Lions, the Tigers. I guess we'll be the Cats. But it was a very exciting game. There was a little boy behind me. Every time that one man in tattoos got the ball, he went, "Come on, Dusty!" And it really was so important to him. And then my other favorite part is anytime someone held on to a ball too long, everyone screamed, "Ball!" So it was a great game. Go Tigers. They won. I'm hooked for life.
Wow.
To pass the ball, you punch it or you kick it.
Like volleyball.
It's like volleyball plus football plus soccer, but bigger, and they beat the crap out of each other. But somehow no one gets injured. It makes no sense.
I'm sure no one ever gets injured.
Like, relatively speaking, because they don't have pads, they don't hit each other as hard. But to me, that means wouldn't it hurt so much more when you get driven to the ground?
Got any footy players in the audience?
Nope.
Anybody who actually has played this game? Yeah, a couple back there. You look like you could do that. Did you get hurt ever playing footy? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we've confirmed injuries do happen.
No matter what sport I watch, every minor hit, I'm like, well, I'd be out for the season. Just put me on injured reserve right now. I think I would start there.
I like just like baseball, where it's like not a contact sport.
Even
I just
sliding.
Like, I watch the ball coming like so. You're just like, I would run away from that.
Yeah.
There's a ball traveling at 100 miles an hour, and it's a foot away from me. I'm leaving.
Yeah. I had to swing at a professional speed baseball once.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
trying that.
I tried it. It's a thing I do. It's my profession. But they go so fast. I don't know if you guys know baseball. They wind up. And for me to swing the bat in time, I had to start swinging when his hand was behind him. He hadn't even begun pitching yet. And that's when I had to start swinging, because they're super freaks.
No, that's not for me.
Not for me.
Did you feel like you had to run away? Because, like, how do you know it's not going to hit you?
I trusted that he was very good at what he did. But when I played Little League, I always ran away. Because kids suck at things, yeah. And I don't want to get hit.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that you understand yourself.
Yeah.
That's really half the battle.
I bruise easy.
Well, thank you so much for being on this episode of Dear Hank and John.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
If you want to see what Zach is up to, you can find the Try Guys all over the world, touring, making videos, making people happy, and it's wonderful.
Thanks, man.
Thank you all here at VidCon Australia in Melbourne for laughing and yelling at us and telling us all about TikTok, and a special shout out to all the Sophies in the audience. Dear Hank and John is a co-production of Complexly and WNYC Studios. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas and Sheridan Gibson. Edited by... Go, Rosianna! Edited by Joseph Tuna Medish. Our head of community and communications is Victoria Bongiorno. Oh, the music is even coming on. And the music you're hearing right now is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.